Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional materials available on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press, including this lecture, are made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Help us to help humanity by making a donation. Telema Press is a non-profit corporation. Donations are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Capricorn, the beautiful sign of Capricorn, house of Saturn, this sign of Earth related with Venus. A symbol of Capricorn is the goat that reminds us the god Pan. In Greek Roman mythology, the god Pan must not be confused or mixed with Priapus, which is another symbol. When you observe the symbol of Pan, you observe the legs of a goat, which precisely is the symbol of Capricorn. And the upper part of Pan is a human being, the only difference that has horns. Of course, this is a very deep symbol that we should inquire and investigate in relation with Gnosticism. We state that Pan really is a symbol of Saturn, which is a symbol of Earth. Saturn is associated with the gnomes and pygmies of the Earth. And when we study in mythology the god Pan, we see that he is related with these creatures, mythological creatures, satyrs, etc. Always playing a flute, symbol of harmony of the spheres. When you go deep into Greek mythology, you find that Saturn is a father of Jupiter and many other gods. It is symbolized with a scythe or a cycle. And it is also called Kronos, the god of time. and death, because astrologically, Saturn is related with the ray of death or destruction. So here we discover a very important Kabbalistic symbol, because when you go into the Tree of Life, which is formed by the 10 Sephiroth, you know that Binah, which is the third Sephirah, or the first triangle on the top of the Tree of Life, is governed by Saturn. In Gnosticism, we state that Binah, governed by Saturn and also by Jupiter. Because indeed, Saturn also holds the scepter of the kings. It's also a king. In Christianity, since Christianity has its foundation in Judaism, and Judaism is based on the Tree of Life, Kabbalah, Christians or Christianity call Binah the Holy Spirit. This first triangle of the Tree of Life, which in Kabbalah is called Keter, Chochmah, Binah, which translated is crown, wisdom, and understanding. Sometimes it says intelligence. In Christianity we call it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, or three unity. When we go into other religions like Hinduism, then we find a Trimurti of the Hindus in Brahmanism, which is Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So Shiva is the Holy Spirit. Shiva is Binah. Among the Hindus, they know that Shiva is the first begotten and is the god of creation and destruction. And Hinduism, of course, is a very ancient religion, oldest among many religions. And Judaism is related with certain symbols, mythological symbols, that Moses took from Egypt, since Egypt is one of the great civilizations that flourished after India. When we investigate our root race, the Aryan race, we know that the first sub-race of this Aryan race flourished in Tibet, and then the second in India, in China, and the third in Egypt, Persia, Babylon. When we investigate the fourth, then we discover the Greek-Roman civilization. And of course, between these two races or sub-races, we discover the emerging of Judaism and Christianity, coming from the ancient religions of India and Tibet. So then you will see that in Kabbalah, there are different divine names attributed to each Sephirah, or the 10 Sephiroth of the Tree of Life. And the name given unto Binah is Jehovah Elohim, or as we say it in Kabbalah, Yod Hava. This is how it is pronounced in a strictly Kabbalistic way. Yod Chava, the Jehovah, what you read in the Bible. This name, Jehovah, is written with four letters. Yod, He, Vav, He. These are the four letters which are called the Holy Tetragrammaton, which is a Greek word, which means tetra, four. Maton means lettered, or a union of four letters. When you pronounce tetragrammaton, you are pronouncing the holy name of God, Yod, He, Vav, He, the tetra, the four, one, two, three, four. But if you notice that when you pronounce that or those letters, Yod, He, Vav, He, you are pronouncing the second again in the fourth. So in reality, that's why Diodorus Siculus, this great theologian, stated that the God of Moses was really Iao, a name that we find very often in the Gnostic scriptures. And that is the highest of all the gods. If we don't know mythology and the origin of different symbols, then we do not understand about this highest god, Yao. Of course, in the Hebrew language or letters, you don't find vowels, only consonants. That's why when you pronounce these letters, the letter Yod is taken as the letter I. The letter He in the middle of any word is taken as the letter A. And the letter Vav is taken as the letter O. Could be also U. So if we take the other He again, we just make a silence, the letter H, in order to pronounce the name E-R-O, Yao. So this Diodorus Siculus state that Yao is the highest of all the gods. Indeed, Yao is Saturn, which is also associated with Jupiter. Saturn, Jupiter. A force, an energy in heaven. So, the seasons of the year, according to this theologian, Diodorus Siculus, states that Zeus governs spring. Helios, the sun, governs autumn. And Yao governs, Helios governs summer. And Yao, autumn, or fall. While Hades, the god of hell, which is also called Pluto, governs winter. So we find here that Iao, according to Greek mythology, is related with the season of autumn, the fall, which precisely we are now. We are in fall. And that is precisely the great symbol of the god of death. Because in fall, especially when nature starts declining in order to enter into winter. And this Iao is precisely that god that was in different languages, especially in Spanish, you see, mixed with the word Dia, Diablo, which in English is devil. So the divine daimon of Socrates, the Diablo, or the devil as we say it in mythological terms, here, are directly related with the god Pan, which is in relation with the forces of nature. And when you study the Tree of Life, you discover that Bina, the Holy Spirit, or Shiva in India, is related with the sphere of Yesod. Because each of one of these forces, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, govern the three triangles. The Father governs the first triangle, the Son governs the second triangle, and the Holy Spirit governs the third triangle, which is the triangle in which we find Yesod, which is called the stone. And Saturn is associated with the stone. That's why in mythology you find that every time that he was having a son or his wife was delivering a son, he was swallowing. He was eating that son in order for him not to lose power and to be always in the throne. But then his wife gave him a stone to swallow, and he thought that he was swallowing his son. But he put Jupiter, or Zeus, aside in order for him not to swallow that son. Of course, a very deep meaning of the knowledge of initiation, in which Jupiter emerges, thanks to the help of nature, into and become the king of heaven. This is how we have to understand this, to comprehend, because in all the Greek Roman mythologies, you find a lot of wisdom hidden within. So Saturn in heaven, as you see, is the Holy Spirit. But when he descends into the stone of Yesod, which is a symbol of the sexual energy, sexual organs, he becomes the god Pan, or the forces of nature, forces of creation. And of course, the god Pan, which is associated with the energies of creation, takes over the wheel of samsara, which is the world of Malkut, this physical world, in which we are submitted to the circle of time. Remember that Saturn is called also Kronos, which is related with time. And it is because, indeed, when that force descends into the three-dimensional world, becomes the Lord of time. And time works, of course, through the sexual energy. In other words, we enter into the circle of time through sex. Because Yesod is always associated with the nine sphere, which is the sexual organs, as you see here, when we play the 10 sephiroth in the human being, Yesod is related with the sexual organs. And it is obvious that all of us came into this physical world to the sexual energy. Through that sexual energy is what in the Gospels, in Christianity, are called the Holy Spirit, which is the giver of life. It is written that it says that the Holy Spirit dwells in the body, and that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Of course, this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, God of creation, is precisely the same Pan, ancient symbol that is represented or in the sexual organs, the legs of a goat, because the goat is always a representation of sexual potency. Among the animals, the goat or the lamb, the ram, is always an animal that has a lot of sexual potency, and which is an animal that was worshipped or taken care in different rituals, sacrifices, especially in the Bible. Comes into my mind at this very moment the book of Exodus in the Bible. It was written there precisely that, according to Judaism, this month is the first month of the year, September. And it's written there that in the 10th of the month of September, which is the beginning of the year according to the Jewish calendar, the priest or any home of that congregation had to take a male goat or a male ram, the plural part, and feed it there for 4 days. They stay there from the 10th to the 14th. Then the 14th, they had to kill it in order to celebrate what they call the Passover, which are 7 days of celebration. That if you count the 14 to the 21, it's at least 7 days. This Passover, of course, when you investigate, it is nothing but the passing of one season into another season, and to prepare for the journey into winter, in which Saturn will come with his scythe in order to perform his duty, which is death. Because in winter everything dies. In order for Hades to take over. But this is a cycle of time, as you see. Because every year is the same repetition. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Spring, summer, fall, winter. And this is precisely what happens also in the human kingdom, in the human level. Your spring, your summer, spring when you are young, the summer when you are adult, and then the fall comes, then you start decaying, getting old, and finally winter, and you die. So that is a process, as we explain in other lectures, of evolution and devolution, growing and decaying. Something natural in nature. You can see that in plants, in animals, in human beings, in the planet, repeating that process every time, and also in the process of races. Any civilization grows, get adult, and then start decaying and dies. That happens with great civilizations in the past. Nobody can avoid that cycle of Saturn, you see. Cycle of Kronos, time. He controls nature. So then you see, for instance, that according to Judaism, they had to kill a goat, a male goat, without any blemish, pure, to kill it in certain ways in order to celebrate the Passover. When you read, of course, this Passover history in the Bible, you read how Moses is performing great miracles, wonders, in front of the Pharaoh. And indeed, he performs only 10. Related with the same tree of life. The 10th, which is related with the lower Sephira here, Malkut, is when all the firstborn of Egypt are killed. It says that the angel of death comes, descends, the Lord comes, in order to kill and to give freedom to those that believe, of course, or that understand the knowledge of the greatest God in heaven, Yah, which in the Bible is translated as Jehovah. Because really, when you discover and you study the seven bodies of the true human being, you discover that every real true human being has to have seven bodies. The physical body, which is precisely the one that we have here, we utilize in the three-dimensional world. Then the vital body, or called ethereal body, which is just the superior part of the physical body. Then the emotional body, which is also called astral body. Then the mental body, which is the body that we use in order to think, and that utilizes the brain in the physical world in order to think in the physical world. But the mental body really is a vehicle that belongs to another dimension. Beyond the mental body, we find the body of willpower, a will that we have. Above the body of willpower, we have the body of the consciousness. And finally, the spirit, which is called Atman, which is the seventh. So that is the constitution of the true human being, septuple. And of course, these seven bodies are here represented in the lower sephiroth of the tree of life. The seventh, which is also attributed to Saturn, is called the Ancient of Days. Because really, that spirit is the son of Christ. If we investigate from where the spirit emerged, then we discover that it comes from the higher sephiroth here in the tree of life, which exponent or creation is performed through Bina, which is called the Holy Spirit. In other words, the individual spirit of each one of us is the son of the Holy Spirit. And this is how you find that our own particular interior spirit is represented by Saturn and is called the Ancient of Days. And that's why it is explainable in mythology that Saturn is the one that gives birth to Jupiter, but it has to be through initiation, in which you take advantage of the forces of nature in order to go up into the tree of life and enter, as the gospel says, into the kingdom of heaven. But for that, has to be a massacre. Has to be a killing, which is also represented in the Exodus by Moses, which will state is the first Halloween that was celebrated according to the Bible in that time or that is written. Halloween is a word that means All Hallows' Eve. A day of all the holies. To reach that point, if you see, for instance, what we're explaining here, that the Passover is celebrated in 7 days. Saturn is the seventh planet. And in the Bible, you always find that the number 7 is very significant. 7 days of Genesis. And different celebrations in which they always go to the seventh day. For instance, the seventh day is Shabbat. It's called Shabbatai, which is today, Saturday. And Saturday is the day of Saturn. So obviously, Judaism is based on Saturn. In Bina, in the mysteries of Saturday, which are attributed to Saturn, Chronos, time. And that's why, being the goat and the lamb, the animals attributed to Saturn, that's why in Judaism you find a lot of celebrations related with goat and lamb. An animal that represents the sexual force of nature, as we were explaining, that's why the god Pan has that symbol. Because if you go, for instance, in Christianity in this day and age, they symbolize the devil with the legs of a goat and the upper part of a human being and with horns, like the god Pan. Indeed, Catholic Church was the one that started mixing the devil with this shape in order to push away the gods of mythology, or the paganism, as they call it. But indeed, of course, Pan is a symbol of Saturn. And it's the same symbol of the Lord Jehovah as a force of creation in the physical world. And that's why, when you read the Exodus and all the books of the Bible, the God Jehovah demands the goat or the lamb as a sacrifice, because are the animals related with his force, the energy. When the Passover finishes, according to this book of Exodus, it says the 10th day you take the lamb, you take care of it until the 14th of September, and then 7 days to the 21, you kill it and you celebrate the Passover. From the 21 of September to the very end of October, you count exactly 40 days. The Lent, which of course is celebrated in Christianity in different ways. 40 days, which when you investigate Kabbalah, you discover that 40 is a number of Mem, which is, of course, the forces of matter, the forces of the earth, the water. When you investigate the Tree of Life, you discover that Yesod is in relation with the waters of Genesis. And then you discover that in the book of Jonah, that he sent it to Nineveh to preach and say that they should stop doing evil things. He started doing that. He says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. So this number 40 is always found very often in the Bible in relation with death, destruction, and penances. In water. You find, for instance, 40 days of the universal flood. You see very clear there, flood, water, 40 days, the letter Mem, in relation with the Ark of Noah. The Ark of Noah, indeed, is nothing but a symbol of the great arcanum, the great secret in which you control the forces of nature. You have to enter into this Ark with all the animals. In other words, with all the forces that manifest in nature. Then, you find, for instance, that the Israelites, after they left Egypt, they were 40 years in the wilderness. Precisely 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah, this is... Here we find precisely the letter Mem in the 13th arcanum of the Tarot. And it's called immortality. Immortality really is something that we had to achieve. And here you find here in the card, the 13th arcanum of the Tarot, also the symbol of the scythe, death. And 13 also is related, or in this case, with death, but related with the letter Mem, because Mem is the 13th letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew Kabbalistic alphabet. Remember also that the great Kabir, the great rabbi of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, was also 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, and facing the devil, or the temptations of Satan. But it's written there, if you read carefully in the Gospels, that when Jesus was baptized, in the Jordan, which is always associated with water. The Holy Spirit, which we are talking here, Bina, Saturn, Yahovah, Iao, enters into his body in a form of a white dove. And after that, it is written there that the Spirit takes him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Obviously, we find the two aspects here of Saturn. As a creator, is given life, but then he's tempting him in the wilderness through the negative aspect of that force which works through nature. This negative aspect, we will say, is a mechanical aspect of the Holy Spirit that works in nature, because the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. You see, gives life in the mineral kingdom, in the plant kingdom, in the animal kingdom, and in the human kingdom. But in the mechanical way. And of course, the force of the Holy Spirit is in the sexual organs. But as a sexual potency, is called Lucifer. And is also called the adversary of God. Why is called the adversary of God? From this point, we understand adversary in the sense that when you are in this world of Malkut, the physical world, you act as an animal. But that animal aspect that is very normal in the irrational animal becomes adversary in our nature. Because we have to stop being an animal and controlling the animal that we have within in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we have to conquer Pan. We have to conquer Satan, the forces, the mechanical forces of nature represented in that adversary called Satan, which is not outside, but inside of every one of us. Because that form manifests especially in the sexual organs. But also manifests to the solar plex as all the animal appetites that we have within and in the mind as well. So those defects that we call anger, lust, pride, vanity, laziness, etc., etc., are animal attributes which any animal has, but that we should annihilate, conquer the animal level, in order to become a true human being. And that's precisely the process that is symbolized in those 40 days in the wilderness when Jesus is facing Satan and his temptations. Of course, that these 40 days, it could be symbolized in different ways. As you said, according to the Ark of Noah, it's 40 years. 40 days as well. But in the wilderness, when the Israelites are in the wilderness, are 40 years. But always a number 40, that means that not precisely in 40 years you had to do the whole work. But that 40 is the symbol in which you are in the process of doing what you have to do, which is the transformation of the human nature into a divine nature. That is what the Master Jesus called the Son of Man. And that, of course, a work with Saturn. Another symbol of Saturn is the crow. That the crow, that bird, symbol of death. If you remember that in the Ark of Noah, Noah sends first a crow in order to see if there is some land, and the crow doesn't return. When he sends a dove, which is the symbol of the purity of the sexual energy of the Holy Spirit, the dove returns with a branch of olive in its beak, a symbol that there is all dry land already there, symbol of something that the waters are diminishing and life is returning again into the life of the initiate. Very deep symbology. Of course, as you see in the book of Exodus, Moses is performing great wonders in front of the Pharaoh. That Pharaoh is a symbol, of course, of the forces of Malkut. Here in Malkut, the Pharaoh symbolizes the intellect, the reasoning that has to be controlled, and it has to see all the wonders that the consciousness will perform when we know the way within ourselves. But the 10th wonder is precisely what we want to talk here in this lecture, which is when the angel of God called Destroyer comes into Egypt and kills all the firstborn of Egypt. In Malkut, of course, you find that is called in Kabbalah Matzarim. That's, we said Matzarim, which is the name that in Hebrew is given to Egypt. This Matzarim, Egypt, is the world of Malkut, the physical world. Is not directly pointing to Egypt of the Middle East. You have to understand that many names that you find in the Bible and many other books, many cities, many countries, lands, took that name or had that name. But many prophets, great initiates, took those names in order to symbolize different things of the initiation. So when you read in the Bible, Mazarim, Egypt, it's not referring directly to the country of Egypt. It's directly related to the whole planet Earth. That's Egypt in Kabbalah. As well, when we talk about Babylon, it's also related with the whole planet. Not related to what people think is just Iraq. So to kill all the firstborn of Malkut, Mazarim, is a 10th wonder that Moses performs before leaving Egypt into the promised land, which is precisely the world of Yesod, the fourth dimension. And it's written there that Iao, which is Saturn, Bina, the Lord of Shabbat, the Lord of darkness, of death, and death tells, I'm going to do my last wonder. I want to kill all the firstborn because he is the Lord of death. Saturn is the Lord of death, the ray of death. In order to finish with this Pharaoh and his stubbornness, which is, of course, the mind, the intellect. This is something that the initiate has to perform in himself. And, of course, it's written there that in order to avoid to be killed by the force of the destroyer, every Israelite has to put blood of goat blood in the dintel of their home in order to find like a sign, in order for the destroyer, the angel of death, to pass away and not kill anybody there. That blood of the lamb is a symbol, of course, of sexual transmutation, the knowledge of the initiation, in which you have already awakened the energy of Kundalini. And you have reached a certain level in which you have to leave Egypt. What is that level? According to esotericism, we have the H's. Different H's that you have to reach in order to have the right of certain attributes. Certain freedom or liberties that you had to acquire, powers. First, you had to conquer the mind in order to leave Egypt, because the world of Malkut is nothing but the world of the mind, the matter, concrete, the intellect. You find that when you achieve the first initiation of major mysteries, when the blood of the lamb is purifying your physical body, you achieve the age of 100 years. And when you achieve the second initiation of major mysteries, then you achieve the age, the esoteric age of 200 years. And when you achieve the third initiation, when you conquer your emotional self, and then you acquire the age of 300 years. And when you finally become a Buddha, an illuminated in your mind, somebody that controls the mind completely, you have 400 years, esoteric years. So this is the way in which in initiation we talk. When we said, oh, this person that I know has 300 years. What we say in with this is that this person has control of his emotional self completely and is purified, christified in the emotional level. But when we say the person is already controlling the mind, he says 400 years. And when somebody reaches 400 years, esoterically speaking, this person has the right to enter into the levels of willpower. Those levels of willpower is the will of controlling the forces of nature. That is represented by Moses. Because if you remember, Moses walked in front of the intellect, which is the Pharaoh, and performed the miracles. He says, let my people go, which means let my consciousness be free from your power. And that's the willpower working there. And of course, every initiation is related with the 33 vertebrae of our spinal column. In other words, in order to acquire 100, 200, or 300, whatever, we need to raise the energy of the Holy Spirit in the spinal column. The energy of Pan, the energy of creation, or the forces of the Holy Spirit, is what in Hinduism is called Kundalini. The Kundalini is called in the ancient Aztec culture of Mexico, Quetzalcoatl, which is called the feathered serpent. This feathered serpent, Quetzalcoatl, is the same Kundalini. And it's the same serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. And that's why when Jesus of Nazareth is talking with Nicodemus in the Bible, he says, in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in the same way the Son of Man has to be lifted up. This Son of Man, of course, is the energy of sex that has to rise when we know the secret of the Great Arcanum. In the 33 vertebrae of our spinal column. These 33 vertebrae of our spinal column are related with the 33 years of Jesus. You know that Jesus lived 33 years, exactly. And it's also related with the 33 degree of masonry. Indeed, these 33 degrees were known in ancient times in Egypt. And everybody knows that when you rise your energy of Kundalini in your spinal column and reaches the month of the school, which is called Golgotha, here in the pineal gland, you acquire the first initiation. And every initiation is acquired when you rise the energy of the Holy Spirit in different levels. So the Israelites, according to the Exodus, left Egypt at the age of 430 years. This is written there that they were in Egypt 430. If you don't know Kabbalah, if you don't know the initiation, you might think that they were really 430 years of the time of the earth. But being Saturn, the lord of time, Kronos, he is the one that controls the esoteric or the internal time of the soul. So when somebody reaches 430 years, he's ready for the Exodus. Meaning that the energy of the Holy Spirit is reaching the 30th vertebra. And then is precisely when it is ready to enter into the brain, where the exodus is performed. But if you realize that, if you visualize and you remember, if you read the book of Exodus, that is after the killing in the wonders that Moses did in Egypt, which is associated because after that, you know, that the Israelites lived 40 years in the wilderness. So this is a great symbol of initiation in which the initiate has to experience his own particular individual Halloween. When you reach the 31st of October, which is the end of the Lent, the 40, from the 21 of September, which is the beginning of Atom, to the 31st of October, is 40 days, when the celebration of Halloween comes. A very ancient celebration that people attribute only to paganism, but in reality is associated also in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in the Bible. This, of course, is a symbol in which you face your own psychological nature. While you enter into yourself, and what in Gnosticism is called the direct path, is when you enter into the world of Saturn. This is stated that when the initiate leaves the earth, leaves Egypt, and is already a twice born, well, the Master Jesus says, you have to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That process is long, but when you achieve that second birth, explained and taught by Jesus in the Bible, doesn't mean that you are going to be born just by believing in Him. Is by working with your own particular innermost. It is written that Master Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. When he said that, he was not talking about his persona, but about that energy that was working in him, because Christ is a universal force. It will be really very ludicrous to think that when Jesus was saying, I am the way, I am the path, and I am the truth, he was referring to himself. That would be very selfish. Beyond really foolishness. When he was saying that, he was talking to the initiates, telling them, your particular individual I am, which is that precisely particular Yao within you, your own innermost, is the way. It's not that you have to follow this or that master, or to believe in this or that prophet, but to discover yourself, your particular individual I am, because I am, your inner I am, is the way. Your inner I am is the truth. Your inner I am, your inner innermost, is the life. In your physical body, in your mind, in your emotion, etc. You have to self-realize that. And that's precisely the way. So when you really reach the second birth, it's because you reach your I am. And it says, nobody goes to the Father but through the I am, through me. That Christ, which was alive within the body of Jesus, and that is palpitating everywhere. So then you have to face your own animal nature when you reach the second birth. And this is precisely the symbol of Saturn. You enter into the cycle of Saturn, which is a world of darkness, and which is called also the spiritual night. And with the initiate has to annihilate completely all the animal aspects. And of course, he already worked with it because they met the destroyer, which is the same Lord of Life. As I said in the beginning, in Hinduism, Bina, which is Shiva, the Holy Spirit, is creator and destroyer. In the Bible, you find in the book of Revelation that the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and then unto him is given the key of the abyss. And later on, it's written there that the work or the fight that is given or that is happening in the book of Revelation is commanded, or the evil forces of the abyss are being commanded by the angel of the abyss. And this angel of the abyss is called the Destroyer. The same name that you find in Exodus, that is going and killing all the firstborn. Now this Destroyer, which is written in the book of Revelation, the writer, John the Divine, states there that his name is Apollyon in Greek, and in Hebrew, Abaddon, which is literally written there, is the angel of the abyss, the destroyer, the adversary. In other words, is that element that each one of us has within, with which we have to fight to death. If we use the forces of the destroyer, which are the forces of the Holy Spirit, then we use those forces in order to annihilate from our animal nature lust, anger, envy, hatred, laziness, gluttony, pride, and all of those defects that we have in abundance within us. And that's precisely the work of Saturn. Or we will say, the aspect of Saturn, which is the destroyer, death, Apollyon. Of course, this is the esoteric aspect of the knowledge. Because in the exoteric aspect, we find also how the forces of the Holy Spirit, the forces of Saturn, work in the human nature. For instance, all of us know that our life, the physical life that we have here, is a force, is a life that came from the forces of the Holy Spirit. And many times we explain that unfortunately we were created through fornication. Because when we reach this level in which we are, which is the human level, it is stated there that we receive the commandments. And one of those commandments is, you shall not fornicate. Fornication is the animal action in which the male and female animals enter in a sexual act and the orgasm. Fornication is something very natural in the animal kingdom. But if you want to enter into the human kingdom, it is written, you shall not fornicate. In other words, we have to control the sexual energy, and we don't have to lose it. For that, we have to receive the clues in order to do it. And that's why, in the human level, it is written in the Gospels, that fornication is a sin against the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. And when somebody fornicates, when loses the sexual force, is of course losing life. He's sinning, as the Bible says, against his own body. If the person commits suicide, he's also sinning against the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the giver of life, and if you take your life by your own hand, you are committing a crime against the Holy Spirit. And that is the only crime that the Bible explains unforgivable. The crime against the Holy Spirit is not forgiving. And Master Jesus explains in the Bible that any sin is forgiven except that. That we have to investigate what is that sin in relation with our nature. And of course, fornication is one, suicide is another one, killing is also another crime. Because the Lord of death, Saturn, the Holy Spirit, Bina, is only one that can take the life. And this is precisely the aspect. The Holy Spirit, or the forces of creation, place in our three brains certain elements in order for us to live a quantity of life. Our three brains are the intellectual brain, the emotional brain, and the motor, instinctual, sexual brain. The brain with which we move. If you realize everything that we have in this physical life is movement, emotion, and thought. But as we grow up and we get old, little by little we are wasting that energy of life that we have in the three brains. When we get very old, the very old people, scarcely they have energy in their motor center. And that energy is no longer flowing in the organism, and they scarcely walk. They have no emotion. Like when we are a teenager, we have a lot of emotion, energy, that we utilize, unfortunately, in the wrong way. Only the people that know how to utilize this emotional force in order to take advantage of that emotional body, like with classical music, but not in this time, of course, people destroy the emotional energy through different music that we know in this day and age, modern music, that destroy the emotional center. Or destroy also the intellectual center with a lot of garbage that in this day and age are very normal. We are very intellectual. People die also in the emotional brain. People that have traumas, that are very emotionally unstable, is because they are no longer have emotional energy. It's because they destroyed the emotional energy in different ways. When you are, of course, overwhelmed with emotional forces, you are wasting your emotional energy, and you can die emotionally. You can also die mentally. If you use the energy of your brain or the intellectual center in the wrong way, you abuse the intellectual center, you can become crazy. Most of the people that are in hospital that are mad is because they abuse of the intellectual center. So as you see, we die in thirds. But usually when we are really ready to die normally, it's because we no longer have energy in the brain, I mean the intellectual center, neither in the emotional center, neither in the motor center. So then Saturn comes with his scythe and cuts the life that he gave us in the beginning. This is how we understand, because the angels of death, which are under the rule of Saturn, are great physicians and also great funeral helpers. These intelligences go in the moment and guide the ray of death. This ray of death is the compound of all the energies of nature in one. And when it circulates in the physical body, it comes the natural death that we call the physical death. So that is the normal process that all of us suffer when we live in this physical body. That's why Saturn, Kronos, the Holy Spirit, give us life through sex and kill us also when we waste the energy that he gives us in the three brains. So to kill somebody else is to interfere in the actions of the energy of Saturn, the destroyer. Because only that divine force can give and take. Because it's called, that's why it's in Kabbalah, it's called intelligence. There's always intelligence in nature, all those cycles. You see how Saturn gives life from the beginning? Emerges spring, summer, fall, and then winter comes and dies. But he comes as a symbol with the scythe of time and like an old man, in order to promise a new spring after winter. So, in the phenomena of death, we find three aspects that die, that we have to understand. Because we explained already that we have seven bodies. So let us explain here what is what dies in every life that we have, according to the law of return and reoccurrence. The physical body, as you know, is the body that you know that goes into the grave and disintegrates. But it's another vehicle that we have that is called personality. Personality is a vehicle which is energetic and atomic. And this personality, of course, is different in each one of us. The personality is that force, energy that moves the body and that enters in communication with society. For instance, my personality is being used right now in order to communicate this to you. And you are using your personality in order to listen. If I'm going to give another lecture, let's say in Spanish, and you don't know Spanish, and then your personality can go to a school in your physical body and learn there in Spanish, and after years and years, when you understand and speak Spanish, and then you are a bilingual personality, or trilingual, you see? In other words, in the personality is the knowledge that we acquire in the life. That's why it is written that personality is it grows with three aspects. Genotype, which is the inheritance of our parents. Things that we have in our personality that we have, in which we act as our parents act. Or the example that we saw with our mother, our father, or with our friends, or brothers and sisters in childhood, and then we repeat and we tend to do that. That's why you find that there are different customs and habits from different countries, different races, in the personality of people. You were born, of course, in a Christian family. You will have in the personality that type of religion. But if you are being born in Islam, you are Muslim. Or Buddhist, you are Buddhist. So in the personality, we have that inheritance that comes from our family. And also the education that we take in the school or that we take personally in the different circumstances of life. That is what forms the personality of each one of us. That's why we have different type of personality. But there is not a tomorrow for the personality. When the physical body goes to the grave, also the personality goes to the grave. But the personality has a peculiarity that can leave the grave, go into the city, and to visit, without the physical body, the place where the personality was living. And that is what the people call phantoms. Those spirits that are in this house, or that they hear noises, this is not the soul, but the personality of people. Sometimes those personalities materialize. People are very identified with the physical world, that when the physical body dies, those personalities abandon the grave and materialize and make themselves visible and tangible to the physical world. There are many stories about that. But of course, if you don't have clairvoyance, you don't know if you are seeing a personality or a physical body of a person. But when somebody develops clairvoyance, know very well that the personality has no aura at all. While the people that are alive physically, they always show aura. The personality is dead completely, has no energy. It's integrating little by little. And usually it takes 7 years in order to disintegrate. So usually when you go to different houses when people die, or people live there and is dead now, those personalities always go around in the fourth dimension. And sometimes certain vibrations of nature help them to materialize for a second, for a minute, for hours, for days. Only when the person knew the personality of that individual that died, then realize, is he alive? How many people that claim that they saw Elvis Presley walking in the streets? Could be the personality of him, why not? Because that personality takes the energy of people. When they talk too much about certain personas, they get really strong. But that is something normal. When you develop the power of clairvoyance, you can see that those personalities are usually there in the cemetery. And they project with their mind, with their mental force, sometimes houses, sometimes rooms. And they don't see that they are in the grave or in the cemetery. They just visualize a beautiful home with curtains and everything that they had when they were alive. And that's why when you talk to a personality of a dead person, they don't realize that they are no longer in the physical body of that person and they still think that they are alive. Usually people dream with those personalities because they come to their relatives and sometimes the relative says, oh, I dreamed with my father, with my mother, with my aunt, with my uncle, my son, whatever, that died, and he told me this and that. Most of the time is just the personality that usually disintegrates and dissolves in the space, little by little. The other element that goes into the grave is the vital body, or the superior part of the physical body. But this usually floats on top of the grave and disintegrates at the same time the physical body is disintegrating. It takes, of course, very ugly appearances. The children that are very clairvoyant babies, when they go to cemeteries, they usually see these type of vital bodies of floating in the grave, and they are scared of them because they are ugly. The best thing, that's why always we advise, is to burn the body, because when you burn the body, you burn also the vital body. And you help the soul. Of course, beyond the physical body, the vital body, and the personality, you find what we call soul, which is unfortunately bottled up within the animal ego. And that's precisely what has to return again into a new body. That soul. The personality never returns into a new body. Because every time that you take a new body, you have to build a new personality related to that time. That's precisely the mysteries of Saturn, in which when you enter and develop your psyche, you weigh your consciousness, and then you know the mysteries of life and death. Very often, in many books, we explain that if you weigh your consciousness, then you know the mysteries of life and death. And the mysteries of life and death are related with Saturn. And Saturn is the Holy Spirit. It's the same Yao or Yod-Havah that is written in the Bible. It's the same as to say, if you're born again by the fire of the Holy Spirit, then you can know the mysteries of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that creates and takes life. This is the power of Saturn. And of course, when you awake your consciousness and you discover by yourself, not that you read a book, but that you experience life and death through your consciousness, then that fear that people have towards death disappears. Because then you see that death is really as like taking your clothes, old clothes, and you after that you use a new clothes. Really, the physical death is something normal that is experienced by animals, by plants, by minerals. And the one that returns into a new body is the ego. But the ego, when it returns, brings, of course, the same vanity, the same pride, the same lust, the same anger, hatred that we had in past lives is now in a new body, but expressing itself or themselves through a new personality, a new body. And this is precisely what people call reincarnation, but it's wrong because it's not reincarnation. It's return because it's a mechanical thing. Reincarnation is something that we perform by will. And in order to reincarnate, you have to be awakened. You can choose the day, you can choose the parents, even the country where you want to be born with a new physical body. But none of us have that power. So we just return mechanically according to the law of karma, cause and effect. And this is something that we will explain in other lectures because it's very extensive. But the law of karma brings new souls into new bodies in order to adjust them. That's why you see that there are people that are being born in homes, rich homes, in order that are being born in poor homes. People that are being born in countries where the situation, the economical situation is better than other countries. So every soul is being born in different places according to the law of karma. So it depends how we utilize or how we utilize the body, the life of our body, in order to be sure what type of body we want to have in the next life, if we have another opportunity. Because many times we state it and we repeat that the human soul has to return into the physical world 108 times. We receive in this case 108 opportunities in order to perform the work that we have to perform. And of course, that is the work with the forces of Saturn, with the forces of time, that is written in different symbols in the Bible and in mythology. According to the path that we were talking in the beginning of the initiation, there is another death that the Bible and many other books talk about, and which is a psychological death that is experienced by the initiates when you know how to utilize the forces of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, Master Jesus of Nazareth explains very well, in detail, with his own life, how to utilize the forces of the Holy Spirit in order to destroy the different defects, vices, errors that we have within, in order to resurrect. The resurrection that you read in the Bible of Jesus of Nazareth is something that each one of us has to perform in the initiation, after dying on the cross. And the cross is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because, as you remember, we explained that the Holy Spirit is the sexual force, the energy of life that expresses in the sexual organs. So when a man and a woman are in a sexual act, they are performing the cross. They are crossing the feminine forces with the masculine forces. So everything comes through the cross. So the cross, symbol of the Holy Spirit, is the way in which the Lord, crucified on the cross, is showing us that if we take advantage of the man, which is the vertical beam, and the woman, the horizontal beam, in the weddings of Cana, when we transmute the water into wine, we can transform ourselves and also annihilate in that process the animal nature, in order to resurrect as a true human being. Of course, the process of resurrection and death that we have to perform is something that is written in the book The Revolutionary Psychology by the Master Samael Onveor. It's a process of meditation, annihilation, purification, that it doesn't happen in one day. And it's not going to happen, as many people believe, that if you believe in Jesus, and then your sins are forgiven. That is ludicrous. Because the sins that we have within have to disappear from our nature. There are many people that think that because they believe in Jesus, they are already saved. Meanwhile, they have within them lust, anger, pride, hatred, vanity, laziness, very alive. The one that really performed the work of Christification annihilate completely lust, anger, pride, and all those animal defects that we have completely, and suffer a transformation, a divine transformation, becomes a true human being. And it's not by believing in Jesus, by utilizing the Christic energy of the Holy Spirit through the cross for the perfect matrimony between man and woman, wife and husband. That is precisely the secret of the cross. And that's why it is written that on the top of the Mount of the Skulls, Golgotha, is where the Lord is crucified. Jesus takes the cross from the very bottom to the top of the mount. That cross is precisely the cross that we have to carry in our shoulders, which is a symbol of the work with the two polarities, man and woman. That is called sexual alchemy. A long process of death and resurrection through many ways. But the ray of Saturn, the Lord of Kronos, time, also shows us the second death. Because when you go into the book of Revelation, it also talks about the second death. This second death is precisely related with what many religions call hell, inferno, averno, avici, and different names. Because the hell of many religions are nothing but symbols. And when you go into Europe and you see the flag of United States, you know that that is not United States, but it's a symbol of the United States. And if you said, I would like to see that symbol, instead of seeing the flag, I would like to visit United States. And then this person takes the aeroplane and comes to United States and says, oh, this is the country. Now I know. I knew the flag, but now I know the country. The same thing is the different hells of different religions, just symbols written that we know how to interpret. You know how to symbolize, how to comprehend that. But the reality of those hells, or infra-dimensions, because really the word inferno comes from the Latin infernus, which means infra, inferior. Meaning that below this physical world of Malkut, we have the world which in Kabbalah is called Klipoth. Klipoth are the inferior dimensions, inferior levels. Hell, inferno, averno, and it has many names. When people have nightmares, they experience the infra dimensions because their soul, instead of going up into the heavens, go into the infra dimensions, into hell, into infernos, and experience nightmares. When they awaken the physical plane again, it's because the soul goes up into the physical body. Anybody that awakes the consciousness can go consciously into the infra dimensions and see precisely the souls of the lost, which are suffering the second death. Second death is precisely an experience of the annihilation of those defects, vices, and errors that we are explaining here, that we have to do it through initiation. But if we don't want to do it, because we have no time, or because we don't like it, or because really we think that that's not the way, those defects, those vices, those errors have to be annihilated sooner or later. And if we don't do it by our own will, nature will do it in the infra dimensions. And that is what the book of Revelation called the second death, which is not the death of the physical body, because the first death is the death that I explained to you, the death of the physical body. Experiences. But the second death is the death of the emotional body and the mental body, which is where we have pride, anger, gluttony, laziness, lust, etc. So those elements have to be disintegrated, because if we don't disintegrate, or if nature doesn't disintegrate there, they will cause a great chaos in the universe. See, for instance, how our society, how our planet is suffering in this day and age. And it's because in each one of us, that devil that we call anger, hatred, lust, etc., is very fat. And we are fighting against each other for just stupid things. People that interpret the sacred scriptures or many religions in the wrong way, and they go and kill others. Wars and rumors of wars. Sicknesses. Because of our ignorance, and because we just enjoy stuffing the ego, fattening, instead of dying, as great religions explain that we have to die in order to be born again. What we do is to feed our ego. Everything related with vanity, everything related with pride, money, fame, and people don't care about spiritual things. They're following only materialistic stuff. And that's why humanity is entering with great tides into the infra dimensions in order to be disintegrated there, in order to annihilate, because the soul suffers. We as souls, we are immortal. The soul never dies. The soul is immortal. But unfortunately, the soul, which is the same as the consciousness, is bottlenecked, trapped within those elements that we have, which are animal. That's why we suffer. We suffer when we feel jealousy. We suffer when we feel hatred. We suffer when we feel hatred, anger. And we don't control ourselves. Through our anger, we can kill others. And we suffer in many ways because the elements that we have in our psyche. And that's why the path of the self-realization is the annihilation of those elements in order to transform ourselves. But sooner or later, in this day and age, humanity is entering into the infra dimensions, which is precisely the furnace where the fire, the atomic fires of nature, disintegrate those elements in order to free the souls. It is necessary to comprehend that the infra dimensions, hell or inferno or averno, is not eternal, as many religions believe. It is a way in which we have to be recycle in modern terms, in which the ego had to die in order to liberate the soul from suffering. Obviously, that process is not pleasant. It's very painful. But it has a beginning and an ending. It depends on the malignity of our own selves. It depends how many defects and vices we have. This is how we are going to endure there in order to be purified. But if we want to avoid this second death, then this is the doctrine that we teach. The doctrine in which we apply the way in which we are going to annihilate our anger, our pride, our vanity, our laziness by our own process, which is the initiatic process. It's not something that we have to believe in. Because nobody is being born by believing in anything. If a woman wants to be pregnant, if she believes that she's going to be pregnant, she won't be ever pregnant. She needs a man in order to give her the sperm that she needs in order to be pregnant as well. If a man wants a child, he needs a woman. To be born again is something equal. We need energy, forces, not to believe. With belief, a lot of people are believing in many things and stay this world, this society is always in the same level, in the same degeneration. Of course, we need to study the doctrine, but we have to put it in practice. That's why in the next lecture, I believe that the speaker will talk about the mysteries of Aquarius that comes after Capricorn, which are related with these factors that we need in order to complete the work of the self-realization of our being through the forces of Saturn. Because Saturn not only governs Capricorn, but also influences Aquarius, which is the next sign. So, if you have questions, we can answer now.
What is the influence of Capricorn on the individual?
The influence of Capricorn in the individual, of course, is because related with melancholy.
Melancholy.
People that are very helpful is, for instance, one of the trees related with the sign of Capricorn is the weeping willow. Usually Capricorns are like that. Very pessimistic by nature, because Saturn is the lord of death, destruction. Usually Capricorns like to, they are very centered in the earth and very preoccupied with material things to the extreme. And always they worry about death. And usually they are, how do you call, hypochondriacs. They like to suffer because that's the nature of Saturn. I don't know, none of you is a Capricorn here, but that's the nature of, if you examine most of the friends, they are very good also, good friends. But they have also the nature of always complaining, physically, mentally, or emotionally, about something. Of course, if we take advantage of that vibration of Saturn, and instead of feeling lost or sad, what we can do is to apply the forces of death in order to annihilate all of those elements. Because Saturn gives us the experience of death, sicknesses, etc. Yes, your question?
It says here, I read on the forums that animals have no ego. What makes an animal if they have no animal ego?
Well, the ego is animal, 100%. What happens is that the animal acts instinctually and obeys the forces of nature in his actions. Saturn, which is the intelligence in the instinctual center, pushes the lion in order to kill the deer. But that is the intelligence of Saturn working in the mechanicity of nature. The lion has no intellect, has no reasoning, doesn't know that he's killing. He's just doing something that naturally is pushed to do. Like, for instance, the elephant that kills a tree, that takes it with its trunk, take it out in order to eat or to whatever it wants to do, in order to eat the forces of the plants. Killing plants. When we call about killing, we also have to understand that it's related in all the kingdoms, mineral, plant, animal, and human. Of course, in a human level, or we will call it in the humanoid level in which we are, those elements that act instinctually in the animal kingdom develop, increase, and create what we call ego, because we use reasoning in the wrong way. We justify with our mind our animal actions. And because in the level in which we are, the law of evolution no longer goes, but the law of devolution. In the level in which we are, the law of devolution starts descending and then the ego start to degenerate. Well, that animal aspect, which is very natural in wild animals, becomes very monstrous aspects within us. And in reality, the ego is a, we will say, the degenerated animal soul, which finally enters. This is precisely symbolized by Saturn. When you see that Saturn gives birth, new children, and after died, he swallowed them. He swallowed them through death when those elements are already monster and causing problems in society and humanity. So it's the same. Of course, an animal is innocent. When you see a cat or a dog or a horse, they don't have intellect. So they act instinctually according to those forces. But we have the intellect. And we reason. And we utilize those elements, unfortunately, in the wrong way. You see how we kill each other in this day and age. You don't see the lions having meetings in order to go and kill many animals of other in other places. They only act when they are hungry. They kill and eat. That's it. They are obeying the laws of nature. But we, you just go there and go and to drop bombs in another country just because they disagree with us, with our religion. Or we crash aeroplanes and buildings because they disagree with our religion. That's stupid. That's animal level. We utilize everything in the wrong way. That's ego. Maybe the dangerous animal in the kingdom, unfortunately, is the intellectual animal. And the intellectual animal is the one that is destroying nature. It's polluting the mineral kingdom, the waters of the oceans, the air with smog, destroying nature with the plants, performing experiments with plants, and causing a lot of problems. And we are destroying our own selves. There are many wars now, and still now, intellectual animals are planning more wars. And you know, through wars, they make money. They acquire power. That is the sad thing of the intellectual animal. It's ego. All of those that do not want to annihilate that ego, well, nature will take care of them. In Klipoth. This humanity is destiny. Its destiny is to go down into hell by nature. Not because we say it. It's a natural process. Devolution. Whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, this is what it is. Physically, we want to die. You can say, I don't believe that I will die. But you will die anyhow. You will get old and you will go to the grave. Same thing with the second death. It's not a matter of believing in hell or whatever. It's just a natural process. And if you awaken your consciousness, you will discover that. That we are talking here is something natural. You can descend experience. You see the people or the souls there disintegrated in order to be free of their defects and vices. In a very painful way, of course. Do you have another question? Related with Saturn, Capricorn. We invite you to study the Bible, especially Exodus. And when you discover many mysteries, don't read the Bible literally. Because every story that is written in the Bible has a meaning. It's a vesture of something which is behind. That explains the way in which you can transform yourself. This is how you have to read the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is a book of alchemy. Those that take the book of Genesis literally like a historical book, they commit a lot of mistakes. Because the book of Genesis was written by an initiate. That initiate is called Moses. In order to show the way. Different mysteries. as well all the books. They were not written there just by the satisfaction of the mind of people. As well the myths that you find in the Greek and Roman mythology are stories, legends, that hide wisdom. And everything is related with us, with our physical body, with our psyche, with our mind, and with our spirit. Because the human being is the microcosm of the macrocosm. So, thank you very much. And next Saturday, the lecture on Aquarius. Thank you.
Gnostic Radio is made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. To make a tax-deductible donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. For questions about this or other lectures, we invite you to participate in the free discussion forum at GnosticTeachings.org. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.